Brethren and Sisters in Battle Creek, St. Helena, California, April 11, 1907. Dear brethren and sisters in Battle Creek, I am instructed to say to those who desire to walk humbly with God, fear not, neither be discouraged. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. Let us seek to understand the promises of His Word. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3, verse 1-3. A remedy is here offered us by the great physician of souls. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Verse 3. If we will conform the desires of mind and body to God's desire for us, we shall find that every requirement he makes of us is for our physical and spiritual health in this life, and if met by us, will secure for us the life that is everlasting in the kingdom of glory. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. 1 John 2, verse 1-6. Read carefully verses 7-11 of the second chapter of 1 John. In these verses, it is shown that true conversion will always manifest itself in the character of the converted one. The characteristics that will mark these who become members of the Lord's family are plainly depicted. Who, as you read these words, can fail to understand that as the professing followers of Christ, you are called to exert a special influence for good in the world? Ask yourselves the question, what manner of person ought I to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Every true believer will represent in spirit, in conversation, and in deed the indwelling of a living principle that will make him one with Christ in representing the kingdom of God in the earth. His own daily conversion will produce definite results for Christ in the lives of others. Those who are so abundantly encouraged by the hope of sonship with God should give expression to their gratitude by acting a part in His work in the earth. They are to increase the light they have received by permitting it to shine upon other souls, that it may be reflected from other lives. Their consecrated lives should reveal to their fellow men that they are controlled by immortal principles. And as they labor to extend the knowledge of truth in the world, they will become more and more competent in the work of saving souls. The light of heaven, reflected in their lives, will draw the minds of their fellow men from earthly things to heavenly. Christ, loved and obeyed and exalted in the lives of his followers, will produce results that will be true and abiding. To every man God has given a work, no soul is excused who has made a profession of faith in Christ. Souls who are without the light are to be instructed in the doctrines of the Word. We are to be ever learning more fully what it means to be a Christian. We have a work to do in soul winning through the influence of a holy life and a godly conversation. Christ's earnest efforts for the salvation of men are to be repeated in the lives of his followers. Our representation of the truth should be very different from what it appears today. Every believer should be drawing daily from the source of all power and concentrating every heavenly influence upon souls who are perishing. Oh, that I could find words to express to you what I have seen would be accomplished if we as a people had that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. The powers which in the past have lain dormant should now be charged with new and living power. Benevolence and justice and mercy should mark the lives of church members. If God's human agents would become active and expansive, they would fill the world with light and love. In the warfare in which we are engaged, there will be conflicts to the very close of time. Satan is manifesting himself in a masterly way, that he may obtain possession of the human instrumentalities. By leading men and women to a love of worldly pleasure and display, he is charming the senses to the destruction of the soul.
But while Satan is seeking to accomplish his work of destruction, Christ is seeking to save the world by his word of truth. He laid aside his glory with the Father and took upon himself the nature of man, that as a man he might reach humanity, and as the Son of God he might untie them to his divine nature. Thus he would make it possible for them to become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. We need to comprehend more fully than we do the sacrifice of Christ for the salvation of our world. The angels of heaven were drawn to earth to study the mystery of incarnate love. That the majesty of heaven should leave his high command and come to this sin-cursed earth as a little child, and subject himself to the poverty of the poor and the temptations of the tempted, was something that the heavenly beings could not understand. The apostles studied the prophecies relating to the Messiah, and as they watched each step in the unfolding of this great and wonderful benevolence, they accepted Christ as the sent of God. They became partakers of his divine love, and witnesses to the fallen world that herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4, verse 10. Oh, what love, what matchless love was revealed when the Son of God stooped to earth to save fallen man. Men in all ages, as they have studied the sacrifice of Christ for a fallen world, and have realized the greatness of the gift of God, have exclaimed with the Apostle Paul, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6, verse 14. The disciples first proclaimed the gospel of Christ in Jerusalem. From that place they were to go forth to all parts of the known world to proclaim the tidings of God's gift to a world of sinners. Behold, Christ said to them, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye which speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Matthew 10, verse 16 to 20. All who understand the wonderful plan of salvation are included with those to whom Christ spoke when he gave the commission. Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. Our church members need to realize, as they have not yet done, that they are under solemn obligation to unite with Christ and the heavenly angels in self-denying work for God. The angels of God are constantly at work that all nations may know the glories that cluster about the cross of Christ. Christ unites the sympathies of heaven with the church, his instrumentality on earth. He equips its members with the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, leaving no one an excuse for remaining unemployed, and then declares, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, verse 18. Mark 16, verse 15. God calls upon His people everywhere to awake and arouse to action. Let no one prescribe the great and solemn work that is to be done. Those who have been entrusted with the talent of means are to bear in mind that this talent is the Lord's, to be used in the work of proclaiming the message to every kindred and nation and tongue and people. Then let God's people accept their privilege of uniting with Him in the work that waits to be done, and claim the fulfillment of His promise. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted with the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jude 20-25.